Australian. I'm going to let that get out of the way because people are going to wonder, like, what accent is that? Is that Boston accent or is that English? It's Australian accent. And so she's our Aussie new friend. She was at a conference that one of the denominations that were associated with American Baptist. She was flown in from Waco, Texas. She's best friends with Chip and Joanna Gaines. That was... and so she is getting her PhD at Truett, which is with Baylor.
Yes, that's right.
In preaching. So I am so glad that I'm not preaching next week to follow her. Ron is. Good luck, Ron. But we are so glad you're here, Allison. And so thank you. So if you give a warm welcome to Allison Gribble.
Good morning, everyone. I am so excited to be here. I have heard such great things about this church. Of course, from my old friend and professor, Ron, who has been boasting about this church to me since he said you should come here. I mean, it's just, I'm so happy. I was a pastor in Peabody, Massachusetts for 5 years before going to Baylor. And I'm just so happy to see such a vibrant community in New England. As a former New England pastor, it just blesses me so much. So thank you for welcoming me here. It's just such a special privilege for me to be here today. You don't have to clap. All right, let me open the word for us. If you have your Bibles, but feel free to just listen along. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. John 20, 19 to 29. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but, you know, sometimes some of the words are different, but we all get to the same place. John 20, 19 to 29. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed the wounds in his hand and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed Didymus or the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it until I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer." Or in other translations, it says, "Stop doubting and believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today I want to take a little bit of a different take on Thomas. And we're going to call him just for today, Thomas the Brave. Will you pray with me before we begin? Lord Jesus, you know we all come to this room from different places. From different places around the world, from around Massachusetts. And also different places spiritually and with our relationship to you. I pray that you speak to us today. Lord, would you take this message from me? May my words be pleasing in your sight and useful for your kingdom. Speak to us now, Lord, for your servants are listening. In your name we pray. Amen. Do you know what being in hiding looks like? Maybe you've seen a picture of people in hiding. Then you can imagine it. Their heads huddled together. An iron bolt slid across the door. Rags are hung to block the windows. Someone knocks over a stool. Shh! Comes a whisper in the dark. One disciple gestures and another nods. Should we pray? And as their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, someone begins. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, peace be with you, exclaims a loud voice above the whispers. The group jumps back, eek! And they see, there in the middle of the room, is it Jesus? Suddenly, this well-hidden party becomes a welcome home party. Everybody swarms him, poking him, pinching him, questioning him. Could it really be him? Yes, says Jesus, thrilled by the attention. Come on, gather round. Look at the nail holes. John, do you remember when I was dead and they put the spear in here? Look at the wound in my side. Remember that? That's how they identified dead bodies back then. Did you know? You know how now we identify people without their teeth or their DNA? Back in the first century, they identified dead bodies by their wounds. But this is no dead body. This is Jesus, alive, breathing. He breathes his breath on them. But as quickly as he comes, he's gone. And all the disciples are left looking at each other. Their eyes as big as saucers. What just happened? There's so much to say, but the words can't quite come. Until finally someone breaks the silence with, hang on a second, where on earth is Thomas? Where was Thomas? Had he stepped out for a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk at the best possible time? Can you imagine just rummaging through some street market thinking, oh, that's a nice ripe tomato. Meanwhile, all your friends are at the house meeting the risen Christ. Had he forgot his keys? Was he fumbling around in the bottom of his bag? Was he trying to remember the secret knock we had? Was it three long knocks and two short knocks, or is it two short? And meanwhile, Jesus is on the other side of the door showing everybody the wounds in his hands. Was he asleep in bed? Did he sleep in? I mean, the disciples had had a pretty big weekend with persecution and the crucifixion and all that. He might have been tired. Was he trying to find a lost shoe under his bed? Meanwhile, Jesus is breathing the Holy Spirit on his friends. Or did it happen like this? Perhaps the most likely option of all. That Thomas wasn't there because he'd left. Because he'd quit. This whole following Jesus project had turned out to be a huge disappointment. Jesus just wasn't who Thomas thought he was. So now Thomas had decided that he was done with all this. Do you know what it's like to feel done with all this? For whatever reason Thomas wasn't there, you must know he wasn't forgotten. His friends, the disciples, made a point of seeking Thomas out. "Thomas, we saw him," says Andrew. "Saw who?" says Thomas. "We saw Jesus," says Philip. "Saw Jesus? Okay, Philip, you've always been kind of weird to me, but Andrew, I expect better from you." "But we saw him, Thomas," says Matthew. "We saw the wounds in his hand and the wound in his side." Oh, Matthew, come on. When you're hiding in the dark, you can see all kinds of things. "Thomas, we touched him," says Matthew. "What you're claiming is impossible." "Thomas," says John at last, "Thomas, what is wrong with you? This is so unlike you. Remember just a few weeks ago when Lazarus was sick? Jesus wanted to come to Jerusalem and all of us said, 'No way.' We told him, 'You're as good as dead going to Jerusalem, but not you.' You said we should go. You said that we should go with him, that we can die with him. Out of all of us, Thomas, you were the brave one. Well, where is your bravery now?" "John, listen," says Thomas. "I am being brave. I'm the only one brave enough to be honest about this. To admit that Jesus is dead and that our dream is over. I'm sorry, I cannot, I will not ever believe. Unless I see those wounds in his hand myself, unless I see the wound in his side myself, unless I even put my hand in those wounds, I will not ever believe until I feel his flesh myself." So in this day, this way, 1 week pass. Now, John says 8 days have passed, but in the first century time, they counted days inclusively. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday has rolled around again. It's time for the second ever meeting of the Christian church. Now, nothing much has changed about that room. There are still rags hung on the windows. There's still an iron bolt slid across the door. Someone is still saying, "Shh." But the people inside, they're very different. You see, these disciples, they aren't in mourning anymore. Why would they be? Their friend is alive. And back in Jesus' day, mourning didn't just mean a sad face. Mourning meant you didn't trim your beard, you didn't trim your hair, you didn't bathe, you didn't wash your clothes. But on this Sunday, these 10 disciples are clean cut, they smell good, they look good, they are happy. Well, except every time they look at that one empty chair and they think about their friend Thomas and they wish he could be happy too. Again, one of the disciples says, "Should we pray?" And they close their eyes and bow their heads. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." They hear a knock on the door, their secret knock. Or is it? No one could ever remember what the secret knock was. But Philip creeps up to the door and he slides open that iron bolt and peeks through the crack, and there is Thomas. Now, I've got to say that Thomas was brave to show up that Sunday. I mean, to come to church when he was so different. To come to church with different beliefs, with different ideas, with different feelings. And not just that, but to come to church still mourning, so he looked different, he felt different, and he smelled different. But there was Thomas, brave enough to come when he was so different to everybody else? Do you ever feel different in church? Different to everybody else? It's brave to come when you are different. And the disciples see him there. They are overcome with joy. Come in, Thomas. Peace be with you. They usher him into his seat. Now, isn't that a picture of what church should be like? A place where believers are welcoming and doubters can be brave. They bow their heads for one more time. Let's try to get back to it. Come on, let's say the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. Peace be with you, Jesus. Again, he's really got to stop showing up like this. You know, this time he's there just for one person. He doesn't need to be there for everybody else. They've already seen that he has risen from the dead. Should the Lord of the universe really be so generous to show up just for one? If you don't know Jesus yet, let me tell you that this is exactly what he does. Jesus shows up for just one person. He is the shepherd that shows up for one. Just for the grieving one. Just for the skeptical one. Just for the doubting one. Just for the messy one. Just for the different one. Just for the one who feels done with all of this. Thomas, says Jesus, I'm here for you. I heard you wanted to see the wounds in my hands and the wound in my side that you wouldn't believe until you touch my very flesh. And Jesus holds out the wounds in his hands. Will Thomas be brave enough to do this? Will he be willing to stretch out his hands and touch Jesus even if it proves him wrong? Would you? Thomas, my Thomas, Jesus calls, my brave Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And somehow, in this incredible reversal of faith, with all the energy that Thomas had extended into digging his heels in, do you know what it feels like to dig your heels in? With all the energy that Thomas had put into that, with all of his personality and feeling and understanding and bravery that Thomas had sunk into the dungeon of his doubt, suddenly Thomas finds it lifting up, just lifting up. All that personality and feeling and intellect and strength is lifting up, and with the bravery that God had planted in him, and also with the community that was gathered around him, and also with those wounded hands, somehow those wounded hands were just lifting him up. And now Thomas, out of all the disciples gathered in that room, it is Thomas who is about to reach heights of understanding and belief that no one else has ever reached. Not once ever had anyone said what Thomas is about to say. Not once out of all those thousands of men and women who had trailed behind Jesus has anyone ever realized anything like this. Not once in all the four Gospels does a single person state just how clearly Jesus is. He says, "You are my Lord and my God. You are God." No one else is as brave to say anything like that in the Gospels. Jesus, you are God. Thomas was brave. He was brave and he believed. Thomas had a nickname in the Bible. You see that in verse 24. It was Didymus. It means the twin. But who is the twin? opinion of Thomas? Was it Peter? Was it James? Was it John? Was it Philip? The Bible never says. Who was Thomas's twin? He's called the twin, but who is his twin? I wonder this morning if the twin of Thomas is you. Do you know what it's like to feel done with following Jesus? Do you know what it's like to feel disappointed in Jesus? Do you know what it's like to sit in church and just feel different to everybody else? Is Thomas the twin of you? If that's you, then let me tell you that the risen Lord is actually here right now for you in Salisbury Elementary School. Could you be brave like Thomas and believe? I know you can't put your hand into his hands and you can't see the wound in his side. And Jesus knew that too, that days like that would come. That's why he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." When he said that 2,000 years ago, he was looking right out of this Bible and looking at you. Could you be brave like Thomas and believe? Can you imagine how good it must have felt for Thomas after finally realizing he didn't have to mourn anymore? How good after 10 days to finally trim his beard? Can you imagine what that beard must have looked like? To finally scrub his face and scrub his body at last, to launder his clothes at last, to put on clean robes at last. It must have felt so good. Look, that new life, that new joy is available to you today. Be brave and believe. That's really all I've got to tell you this morning. Be brave and believe. Will you let me pray for you all? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the incredible witness of Thomas, somebody who was brave enough to show up for church when he didn't know. We thank you for his bravery in reaching out to see if Jesus was real. We thank you for his bravery in declaring that Jesus is Lord and God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for anyone who is in this room who just doesn't know right now, who feels done, who feels like they think and believe differently, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, might show up for them right now and help them to be brave and believe. In your name we pray. Amen.